You heard Stephen singing along. We had the kids and the teachers not only singing those songs, but they were learning the sign language that went with it as well. So thank you, Stephen, for leading us in that song today. Our New Testament lesson comes from Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. So we are continuing our study of the fruit of the Spirit. There are nine fruit of the Spirit, and those are found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We've talked about love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Today we're going to talk about faithfulness and gentleness. It's been interesting to me to see how interconnected these fruit are and to be reassured that as God grows these fruit in our lives, they grow together, not one at a time. So in looking at faithfulness, which it'll be the first one today, we start with the basic premise that faith in God is believing that God is for real and what God says in the Bible is true. Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 1, says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then the entire chapter of Hebrews 11 lists the heroes in our faith in the Old Testament. And it's a long list. You get it out and look at that list when you get home. That listing in Hebrews is just a tiny sampling of examples of men and women throughout the ages, throughout the centuries, who have been willing to face terrible tragedies and suffering as they stood firm on the promises of God's word that comes to us through Jesus. Faith is when we focus our hearts, our lives, our decisions, our very souls on God and His promises. So Hebrews 11 lists the names and the people of the Old Testament who stood on their faith in God. The author of Hebrews continues his reassurance of standing firm in the faith for those who are Christ followers today. Chapter 12 says, these are cool words. Chapter 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, for Jesus, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What words of confidence, what words of reassurance come to us as we learn to stand on our faith in God in the midst of whatever suffering we face. So we're talking about fruitfulness today. There are three parts to the fruit of faithfulness. First of all, God's faithfulness to you. Second of all, your faithfulness to God. And third of all, don't be ashamed to tell other people about God's ongoing faithfulness. So the first part, God's faithfulness to you. God's faithfulness to you began before you were ever born. God's faithfulness to you began in the Garden of Eden when God did not give up on Adam and Eve when they ate the forbidden fruit and sinned against God. As you read your Bible, you'll see throughout the Old Testament that it is full of examples of God continually being faithful to his people and making it possible for their sins to be forgiven. That's throughout the whole Old Testament. God restored their broken relationship with him. God continues to take the initiative to reach out to us today. And when you go into the New Testament and see how Jesus is about the work restoring people's relationships to God, we read in Luke 15, that's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Those are the stories that Jesus tells when he talks about going after the lost sheep and describes the search for the lost coin. And who can forget the story of the reunion of the father and the prodigal son? In each one of those stories, God is the one doing the searching. God is the one who takes initiative for the lost to be found. Back in the Old Testament, in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, we have a wonderful promise of God's faithfulness to us. Listen to this. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Does that bring to mind the words of a familiar hymn? Great is thy faithfulness. That's where it came from, Lamentations. And then in verse 4 of Lamentations 3, the Bible goes on to say, I will say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. God is faithful to us. Second part. The second part of the fruit of faithfulness is this. Once we come to believe in and trust in God's faithfulness to us, then God helps us to be faithful in return. When we accept God's offer of salvation that comes only through faith in Jesus and Jesus' work of redemption and restoration that he did on the cross, then each one of us are in that place where, with God's help, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to change the direction of our own lives through our day-to-day decisions and attitudes. We get the Decision magazine at home. It's a magazine that's put out through the Billy Graham Evangelical Association. And in the most recent edition of that Decision magazine, I was intrigued by an article by a man named Andrew Brunson. It was called Don't Be Offended by Christ. And that title kind of caught my ear, my eye, and I thought, don't be offended by Christ. And I began to read, and the first sentence of that article grabbed me. During difficult times, a real danger for the Christian is to be offended at God. During difficult times, a real danger for the Christian is to be offended at God. The article goes on to talk about Brunson's struggle with his faith in the midst of persecution. His struggle with feeling like God had abandoned him. And eventually, Brunson realized that for Christ followers, especially in the midst of the difficult times of our lives, it's not enough for God to be on our side. We must be on God's side. In the midst of the struggles of our lives, it's not enough for God to be on our side. We must be on God's side. The article concluded with the words from Brunson, "I was questioning God's love and faithfulness. But it wasn't God's love and faithfulness that were being tested. It was my love and my faithfulness to God that were being tested." Being faithful to God means to be committed to God no matter what, come what may. Being faithful to God means to not do or dwell on or say anything that disappoints God or is rebellious against God or breaks the trust that God has in you. God's relationship with us can sometimes be compared to that of a marriage. Marriages succeed when they are built trust upon trust upon trust. Marriages succeed when they are built brick by brick on commitment to God and to each other, no matter what, come what may. Marriages today often break down because of one person being unfaithful. Often we think of unfaithfulness as a sexual offense, but unfaithfulness really starts long before that happens. Marriages begin to fail when we think to ourselves, what can I get away with and still stay married? Unfaithfulness begins with ignoring the other person's feelings, deliberately doing what the other person has asked you not to do, even pushing buttons to get a reaction because you don't like what the other person says or does. Unfaithfulness comes from a slow and deliberate dwindling away of commitment. In the Old Testament is the book of Hosea. That book in the Bible is all about faithfulness and commitment to a marriage and uses Hosea's faithfulness to his wife Gomer, in spite of her infidelity, as an example of God's faithfulness to the church. According to the story of Hosea, it does not always take two. One person can make a marriage work. Now, don't get me wrong. God's ongoing patient faithfulness to his church does not give us in the church a license to act any way that we want, not any more than a husband or a wife has a license to act any way they want. God is faithful to us. God is committed to you. God helps us be faithful and committed in our marriages, no matter how difficult it gets. If your marriage is struggling, keep turning to God for help and for strength. If your faith is faltering, keep turning to God for help and for strength. Ask God to help you to be more committed to God so you can be more committed to Him and so you can be more committed to your spouse. Joshua 24, 14 and 15 gives instruction from Joshua to the Israelites. This was right as they were planning to cross into the Promised Land. They were going to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land, and Joshua turns to the people and he asks them a question. Now, these words from Joshua are words for us to hear today for our marriages and in our relationship with God. We have to choose. Here's what Joshua said. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You can add the words there, whether anyone else does or not. We have that same choice. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Serve the Lord, whether anyone else does or not. Sometimes you have to stand alone. Finally, the third part of the fruit of faithfulness is to not be ashamed to tell other people about God's ongoing faithfulness. King David was always proclaiming God's faithfulness. There are 150 Psalms in the Old Testament. King David is considered the author of most, if not all, of those. He was always proclaiming God's faithfulness, and what a courageous example King David sets for us today. I'm going to read to you from two of the Psalms. Psalm 40, verse 10. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. That's King David speaking. And then he goes on in Psalm 89, verse 2 to say, I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. And Psalm 89, verse 8 says, Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. We have the opportunity to be proclaiming our faithfulness to God and God's faithfulness to us, to everyone we meet. And now the fruit of gentleness. Gentleness is how we treat others in response to our gratitude for God's love and faithfulness toward us. God gives us His gentleness. Our Heavenly Father is gentle with us as He draws our sins to our attention. And then by the power of this Holy Spirit, He helps us to confess our sins so that we can receive the righteousness of Christ, who is our Savior. Our faithful Lord is gentle and kind, even as He helps us to overcome the sinful attitudes and habits that have become so ingrained in our lives and in our day-to-day decisions. Sometimes we compare, well, at least I do, maybe you do, Sometimes we compare that our own blessings are not the same as the blessings of others. We compare what we have or don't have with what somebody else has or don't have, and then we complain that life is not fair. You're right. Life is not fair. Thank God life is not fair. Listen, if life were fair, none of us would go to heaven. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death. If God made life fair, we would all go straight to hell because that's what the Bible says we each deserve because of our sins. If God made life fair, He most certainly would not have sent His only Son, Jesus, to die and rise again to save us from our sins. That was not fair to God. That was not fair to God the Father. It was not fair to Jesus, His only Son. But God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, to be crucified and die a horrible death on the cross so that whosoever lives and believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. The wages of sin really is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. The bottom line we have to remember is this: Jesus loves you too much to go on living without you. Jesus died for your sin so that by your faith in Him, you don't have to go on living without Him. 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 through 17 is a wonderful assurance. This is Timothy who's writing. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. Because Jesus patiently offers forgiveness to us, we have every reason to be patient and forgive others. Faithfulness and gentleness grow together in our obedience to God. They grow through our obedience to God. Psalm 119, this is the longest psalm in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 101, tells us how to be faithful to God. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. It's the longest psalm, but it's a short verse. Verse 101. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. As Christ followers, we begin to obey God's word when we yield our wills to God's will and pray, not my will, but thine be done. Gentleness is found when we yield our wills to God's will. 1 Timothy 6:12, Timothy writes again, fight the good fight of the faith. Gentle people are not sissies. Gentle people show their strength when there's much to suffer. Gentle people are commanded to behave like Christian soldiers of the cross, putting our hurt feelings behind us and fixing our eyes on Jesus. Gentle people are called to face the decision or the task that the Lord has placed before us and respond to God instead of to people. Respond to God as Jesus did and pray the words with Jesus, "Not my will, but thine be done." Gentle people obediently and faithfully yield themselves to God. Their faith-filled patience becomes a witness to others of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. Your faith-filled patience to others is your witness. Take courage. Dare to obey God. Dare to be faithful and gentle through the strength of God that is given to you who choose to love Jesus. Please pray with me. Lord, give us your courage to yield our wills and our lives to you. Help us to faithfully obey you as we trust you with ourselves and our loved ones and the decisions we make today. Lord, we know that you may direct us to be your witness to someone who is doing their best to not fall apart. Help us to be gentle and kind in all that we do. Please help us to choose to love Jesus and be good witnesses of his saving grace in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.